you know, you, if you're a conscious being, if you're a self-aware being, you go through the process of doing your own work as an individual and trying to mitigate at least the things that were sort of handed to you that weren't helpful, mm-hmm. and the things that you adapted and adopted that were coping mechanisms at the time and had their value in the time, but lose their value, but again feel like a safe haven,
right.
You know, the go-to place because it's the known, right?
Yes.
And so for me, that was a shit ton of work, and then being in relationship with somebody in an intimate dynamic like that. I mean, I always say, like, all the women that I've been with in a long-term capacity have all been my greatest teachers by intent or by default.
Yeah.
There was some times where, I mean, it's like a good student finds a teacher in everyone and everything, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be a good student. You know, it just was important to me to glean as much. And I think that's a byproduct of a survival mechanism as a kid, being a very uncertain situation in many times and having to be able to assess the situation really quickly, mm-hmm. and discern it in a way that's going to keep you safe, right?
Yeah.
So that translates as an adult into not just taking things at face value, but really trying to get behind it, which also can make you a very suspicious human being and a very kind of skeptical human being. Mm-hmm. And so you got to parse that too and not let that then become a crutch or a burden or a way to close off from a situation. Mm-hmm. And so you do all that work with a partner and then you think, I fucking got this dialed in. Right. And then, and then you have a kid and you're like, oh, okay. It's a whole new layer, a whole new level of stuff. But I called that kid in. Like I really, he was an intentional being. And we had that discussion. He was the deathbed confessional, right? He was like, all right,
called him in. I like that.
I'm in this position. My life is ebbing from me at this moment. What am I regretting not having done? And this is in my 40s, through most of my life thinking I don't ever want to have kids. Like it's too much responsibility. I kind of did it as a teenager with my brothers. You know, I've been enjoying this freedom and adventure and knocking all these things off my bucket list.
That's kind of a selfish place.
Totally selfish place. Yeah. And that's what the realization was just like, how much, you know, I'm sitting down there in Mexico on this beautiful beach thinking like, I'm just doing all this stuff. I think I'd probably just gotten off of like a shark dive or something, you know?
Wow.
And I was like, these things are not having the thrill, mm-hmm. you know, that they used to have. Like, it's just like, how much can I entertain myself here?
Right.
Wherever I go, there I am.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, well, what would I really regret not having had the experience of? And he showed up. He was just like, having a son, because I think it's really for me to
re-raise yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not that he's a functionary to that. I don't want to put him in that position, but mm-hmm. it's like, but he is serving that purpose for me.
I mean, he is little John.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you one of the most profound experiences. He was, I don't know how old, maybe one and a half or something like that. And we tried to do the thing where, you know, have him, because he was co-sleeping with us. And so it's like the cry it out, right? Put him in the crib and let him build up that ability to just self-soothe. Mm-hmm. And he was just crying, you know, but we didn't do him in another bedroom where we could shut it out.
Ooh,
he was
hard.
In the same room and
very
it's
hard.
Like horrible. And both of us are just like, oh, mm-hmm. is this the right thing? What are we doing? You know? And I remember, and I was just getting like agitated, because it was this push and pull of like, what's the right thing? I don't know what the right thing is. And also I can't sleep and I'm getting angry. And I remember going over there and I was like feeling that rage in my body. And then I picked him up. And then I was like, in that moment, as I picked him up, I was like, love him like you wished you would have been loved in that moment. Because I wasn't. My dad came and screamed at me to shut up. Right. So in that moment, I just so softened and he's crying and wailing and I just held him against my body and I was just loving him like I was loving myself, you know. And then over time, he softened. Profoundly healing, you know?
Of course. Absolutely. I mean, and it's a gift that keeps on giving. For sure. It's never going to go away. I mean, do you ever think about being a grandfather?
Yeah, it's a hard stretch.
That's a hard one, right?
Because, I mean,
don't you want to stick around for that?
Of course.
Don't you want to see the kind of dad this guy's going to be?
Totally, yeah. I mean, I think about it just because I'm going to be 50 next year. And and so, yeah, I'm just thinking, man, if he waits as long as I waited, we better really get solid on our anti-aging technology.
I think you're going to live to be 110.
For sure. I'll take whatever.
Keep taking your Flintstone vitamins,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, my little gummy vitamins that I take from him.
There you go. Just for the taste.